You guys just missed the lyrics to Cinema Vino as provided by Taylor Holmes.
We're just working on it.
Hey, it wasn't very Duran Duran. Yeah,
I like it. I mean, Taylor, if you want to do some bars for our
audience, I mean, heck yeah.
We'll be talking heads.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
We'll jam after this.
Yeah. 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 We'll flesh that a little bit. And yeah, that's, we mean like Lennon McCartney, you know?
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. So we're going to start our Valentine's Day series looking at romantic movies or even some kind of off the beaten path romantic movies. I would say this is a date movie in the very general sense, just because lead character is so off putting.
You should be off-putting.
Ooh. And right before we did all this, to get into the romantic mood, we each sat on the couch, and one of the other members of the crew laid their head in our lap, and we played with their hair.
Yes.
Played
with their hair. I didn't know where you were going with that for a second.
Members of the crew.
Yeah, I was very, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Taylor's head was in my lap. I played with his hair.
We each talked about our dream journals.
Yeah. So.
The rest of us don't have a lot of hair to play with.
No.
No.
Well, it's okay. So we are going to talk about as good
romantic
as it,
comedies,
as good as it gets. That's going to be our first one, and we're going to do bubblies with all of these films. So kind of date movie, date night, Valentine's Day centric kind of stuff.
Michael Bubblies.
Michael Bublé, who's my hero. I will say during the whole thing about Spotify going on, who was the guy? James Blunt saying he's going to release another album if they, which is awesome.
Was this in the freezer?
Yes, it was.
Wait, James Blunt said he's going to release.
Nice, right?
If they continue hosting Joe Rogan, he's threatened to release another album. Literally, he said if you don't get him off of there, I will release another album.
And it was he did hashtag you were beautiful.
You're beautiful.
Why is he amazing?
You're beautiful.
Yeah, and that's a real threat too.
Yeah,
so everybody heed that.
Don't tell us, tell Spotify.
Yeah.
Exactly. Where we're hosted.
Yes.
If you want to pick us up and sponsor
us. Be sure and subscribe to us on Spotify. And
like it.
Rate us 5 stars on Spotify.
Exactly. Right now we're drinking. So I got 2 bubblies here for us tonight that we're doing for our movies. One of them's going to be a more affordable budget bubbly. Still really good. One of them's going to be a full-blown champagne. So the first one is a French bottle of wine. It's not a champagne because it doesn't come from the Champagne region of France. This is the Gérard Bertrand Cremant. So this is going to be primarily a Chardonnay-based bubbly, which is like champagne. Most champagnes will be based either out of Chardonnay or Pinot Noir, one or the other, although it can be both, in which case it's called Cuvée. This one's mainly Chardonnay. It does have some Chenin Blanc mixed into it, so it's a weird mixture of stuff you don't normally see Chenin Blanc mixed in with.
And this is the one that's preferred by Gérard Depardieu.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially during his Man of the Iron Mask phase.
Wow. Oy. Not so much the My Father the Hero.
Yeah.
We all had that Man of the Iron Mask phase.
You know? Yeah, that was 7th grade for me. So yeah, this is probably about $20-$25. It's more budget friendly, but still a nice, refreshing, easy drinking bottle of bubbly.
Say the name again.
Gérard Bertrand.
And it's favored by Gérard Depardieu.
We can't back that up with actual evidence.
Gérard Bertrand.
Yes.
For the Americans.
Yes. And this is a Cremant de Limoux. Limoux would be the area it's coming from.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, actually quite good. So As Good As It Gets came out in 1997, Christmas Day.
Oh. Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
Huh. Tay, we saw this in theaters.
Together?
No, I'm serious.
I told Sean that I saw it in theaters, but I wasn't sure who I saw it with.
Tay, you and I held hands. No, I mean, we saw it with a high school group of, you know.
That's what I thought. Yep. Someone's with you?
Yeah, we were in, was this middle school?
Freshman in high school, bro.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to say 97.
My bro.
Yeah.
I knew we saw. I was like, I saw it in theaters. I just don't know who with.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I knew I didn't know what the fuck we were watching.
I'm kind of hurt that you don't remember me.
Yeah, that kind of stings.
Well,
yeah.
Travis, if you put your hand in the fucking popcorn like I told you to, I probably would have remembered it.
You didn't sit next to me. I think somebody else put their hand in the popcorn.
And now Tay would be bursting through that popcorn, even a large.
Yeah. Post surgery, yeah.
Yeah. That's extra butter.
That salt would bruise the hell out of me.
Yeah. So this one, Academy Awards for Best Actor, Best Actress, Jack Nicholson.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Greg Kinnear was nominated. He was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay in the whole.
Just real quick, can we talk about the age difference between Helen Hunt and
Jack Nicholson?
Jack Nicholson. It is 24 years.
Dramatic.
24 years.
This was written by James L. Brooks, too, who he wrote and directed.
Yes.
Yeah.
James L. Brooks of The Simpsons fame.
Also, Terms of Endearment.
And he did Spanglish.
Broadcast News. I don't know if you guys have seen Broadcast News.
Oh, is that the one where I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore?
That's Network.
Ah, shit.
I see. There's some other movies James L. Brooks did. He did quite a few. He was definitely a producer who picked up The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Him and Sam Simon, I think, picked up.
Sam Simon and Groening.
Yeah. And so they were basically the people brought in to shepherd Matt Groening's idea to the full TV episodes from the Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah, so we have some Simpsons alums that he's scrapped up. I'll let you guys talk about that because you guys have better Simpsons kung fu than I.
Yeardley Smith, the voice of Lisa, would have been Greg's assistant?
Assistant, yeah. I would say she was like his assistant.
Yeah. And then Dan Castellaneta.
Yeah. This is the guy with the suit shop or whatever.
Yeah, suit shop, yeah.
That gets Nicholson the
coat tie.
So for those who haven't seen the movie, quick recap. Jack Nicholson plays a misanthropic novelist, a trashy romance novelist, who is OCD, I would say homophobic, racist, xenophobic, misogynistic, pretty much anything negative you could bundle into one personality.
But it seems like he's a successful novelist.
Yes, he's got money. Nice,
yeah.
Yeah, you can be trashy and successful. There are definitely some trashy novelists out there.
The overlap is extremely
wide. Yeah, I'm walking proof of that.
Is that your Instagram handle? Trashy and successful?
And Travis is on that right now. And so he insults everybody around him in his building. He pretty much
incredibly
only
incredibly racist.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we can talk about how much that stuff would fly now here in a minute.
It probably would not.
Yes.
It would definitely not.
Yeah.
No. He frequents a restaurant where Helen Hunt works as a server, and she is like the only server that he will interact with.
Well, and he obsessively frequents that restaurant. That's part of his compulsion.
Yes.
Is that is the only restaurant he will go to, and he goes to the same waitress. And I think he goes to the same waitress because nobody else wants to wait on him. He's intolerable.
Call me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wouldn't fly today, but you're protagonist doesn't have to be well liked.
No.
They can have flaws, and you don't have to call, you know, the person who wrote it. I thought about that while we were watching this, I was watching it, and I'm like, yeah, it would definitely be picked apart today more. But that's again, not every single character you have in a film or a work of art is going to be a perfect member of society.
Yeah,
they are, you know. Will have foibles.
Flawed. They're humans.
They're flawed.
Well, even then, apparently behind the scenes, Jack Nicholson was extremely worried that this character was so unappealing that no one would want to see the movie. And he and James L. Brooks had massive squabbles behind the scenes about that at one point led to the production being shut down.
Squabbles, you said.
Interesting. Yeah,
that, and they basically, per Nicholson's assistants, had to kind of recraft the character a little bit to make him a little more palatable for the audience, because Nicholson was obviously worried about his reputation.
Yeah.
Worried that the movie would bomb because his character was so relentlessly ugly for most of the movie. So it obviously wore him down playing him, as I think it would for most people who had any kind of conscience. I think it would wear you out to be somebody that ugly to everybody all the time.
Well, and I totally agree with him. I mean, I think it was hard to buy into the idea of him being a romantic prospect.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Because he was so ugly the entire time.
Yeah. And that will be in my review that will be out tomorrow Wednesday.
At the time of this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like it felt a little bit artificial that him being a romantic lead so quickly in the span of this movie, someone that horrible at the beginning could be that much of a gooey leading man at the end of it and embrace Helen Hunt and be standing on the cracks of the sidewalk and it felt a little bit forced, but even though I will say I enjoyed the movie and I enjoyed going back and watching it again. We'll talk about that a little more here in a minute. But obviously Dan Coulson has a romantic interest in Helen Hunt, this waitress. And he also, the other key relationship he has is with his neighbor, who is a gay painter played by Greg Kinnear.
Great actor.
Yeah.
How did they afford the same apartments?
Yeah, that's a good question. And no wonder.
Was the artist?
Not believable.
Yeah.
Fancy artist.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, Simon's paintings are not that great, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The one in his hand, like all the ones on the wall, you're like, oh, that's much better. But you see him sketching Helen Hunt, and you're like, Jesus.
Yeah.
If you think back to Three Men and a Baby and think about the artwork that they were putting out in Three Men and a Baby, I think it was comparable.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that good, but like in the 90s, it didn't matter.
It was a hell of an apartment.
Everybody was on coke.
Yeah, everybody's having a great time.
Oh, shit. You're probably going to mention this, but I was going to say it has a great score, and it's Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer, yeah.
Fuck, from Dark Knight, mm-hmm. Batman Begins.
Yeah.
Superman.
Yeah. Superman.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Exactly.
You're right. You are right.
Oh, wait, Crimson Tide.
I think he did the, I don't know if he did them all, but I know he did the
First one. Yeah.
Two, maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Crimson Tide, Days of Thunder. I mean, we go back a ways. Rain Man.
I mean, we can just say that Hans Zimmer is like
one
of the best composers of our time.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. He's got quite the oeuvre.
He's the John Williams of the post John Williams era.
Yes. Even though I'm not ready to give up the John Williams era yet.
No, I think we're still there. It's still going. Yeah. Still going. Yeah. Still going.
That will be a very sad day when that era is over for me. Sure. I'm a John Williams super fan.
I think I'm going to
Sousa fan, yeah. Did you say?
Yes, exactly. I'm curious to hear your guys' opinions of it. Okay, so the two-part question. Have you guys, obviously you two have seen it before, even though you don't remember.
We held hands. Not dicks.
Yeah, you have different recollections of seeing it.
Says you.
So... mainly this will be directed at Sean. Have you seen it before? If so, what'd you think seeing it again?
I had not seen it before. I was 7 when it came out. And
solid.
It did not do it for me. I think the conversation around mental health now is vastly different from where it was in 1997.
1,000%.
Yes.
I thought that this movie was a little bit tone deaf in that sense. I think it was... It felt a little flat. I didn't buy him as a romantic lead, and obviously Jack Nicholson thought the same thing. I didn't feel any chemistry between the romantic leads. You know, Helen Hunt, you know, was a great character, and I understood why she felt that way, but at no point did I feel any sense of romance. And it was the age gap. It was literally him... having financial power over her. It felt coerced. Yes. It felt uncomfortable. Awkward. It felt just like it. I understand what it might have felt like in 1997, but it did not feel like that now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just because of the conversation that we've, you know, had as a society since then, mm-hmm. and the growth that we've had, but we are not there as a society now. And that probably movie was
a lot of conversations.
Yeah. It felt very tone deaf or just flat. I don't know.
Dated.
It definitely felt dated. Yeah. And I think the specific pressure points where this movie has, you know, conflict and where this movie has, I don't know, romantic tension would not fly mm-mm. nowadays. And it just didn't feel the same.
See, I thought rewatching it, and that it, the first time I watched it, I was like, I'm not sure what I would just watch. And it didn't,
yep.
at the end, again, it didn't make sense. I'm like, oh, is this where it ends? It just, it ended with a,
Yeah. It feels flat.
And I'm
yeah.
like, oh, is this, okay, well, it was an experience. It was well acted, but you're right. The, a lot of it, rewatching it, I'm like, oh, he just has one goal. That's to get her back to work. He has no inkling of an idea of a romantic anything until Cuba Gooding Jr. is there with him and like, hey, man, she's good looking. She kind of seems like she likes you. And he's like, what? No, it's just, wait, what? Maybe, do I like her?
In the words of Jack Nicholson, is this as good as it gets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it seemed like it like occurred to him and he goes, hold on, do I... all right, maybe, what? Well, and it seemed like he had gone through a bit of his growth with Verdell, the dog, and been like, okay, well, maybe my life wasn't great and perfect, and I'm, you know, a little bit weird or whatever, and he had that injection of, you know, just having the dog and being like, oh, this is great, part of my routine, somebody to talk to, somebody to hang out with, and he goes, maybe my comfortability with this waitress and with this place... maybe it's not centered necessarily on this place. Maybe it's actually her. So I saw it and I thought that he had that occurrence about halfway through the film and was like, because even he said when he went out to eat with her, he was like, well, I don't know. I thought you might have sex with the gay guy and that might make him happier or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Like at no point did it feel organic. And I feel like they tried to plant that scene where he goes into his publisher's office and the secretary kind of corners him and is like, how do you get into the hearts and the minds of girls? Yeah. I just don't. You just have such a way. I'm such a big fan. And it's like they were trying to implant some sort of sense of empathy with the character or like show that he has some sort of ability to.
Yeah. And then he blows that up. He's like.
And then he immediately fucks it up.
Yeah.
Like I think of a man. I take away reason and accountability.
And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
How terrible do you have to be?
Yeah. And they want you to hate the character.
Oh, yeah.
The first 2 minutes of seeing him, he takes a small dog and shoves it down
in a laundry chute.
Yeah.
That's garbage chute.
Garbage.
Oh, was it garbage?
Garbage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he was eating diapers.
He was eating diapers.
That's right.
Shitty diapers.
Yeah. I went on to float the river 1 year, and that's all I saw was a big old diaper full of diaper shit.
He got really philosophical about that, too.
Yeah.
It was very bizarre.
Yeah.
Taylor, what'd you think?
Everything. What you just said. I mean, the film was, and I feel like that film, anybody who loved it, which I mean, I'm trying to think the best way to say this. I didn't think it was a bad film. I thought the acting was great.
Mm-hmm.
But you're after rewatching it, because same with Travis said, I know I saw it in theaters, and I remember thinking, what in the hell am I watching? Mm-hmm. I'm watching Jamie Kennedy and a B-roll Johnny Depp robbing Greg Kinnear, and it was just like, and I was just like so confused.
Steve Ulrich from Scream.
Yeah. It was like, may he rest in peace. It was like, well, his career. But it was like, I couldn't, but like, oh, no. But I couldn't figure out what was going on. I remember watching it in theaters, I didn't know what the hell was going on. And then rewatching it, I was like, what the hell did I watch at the age of 15, 16 in theaters? And yeah. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And, you know, to Sean's, what he was saying, it was about like, it was kind of a big mental health thing, which, you know, back in those days, it was just like, put a smile on your face, go outside.
Yeah.
Go for an exercise. It was like, you know, you're fine. But it was like, clearly this guy, you know, and he was, had mental issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, but at the same time, it was like he was probably comfortable going to that one waitress. Obviously, he was, mm-hmm. It was very interesting to watch it on that side of like what today's, and, you know, the Greg Kinnear, the Cuba Gooding Jr. character. And it was like, wow, you know, for 97, that probably had to be pretty big.
Yeah.
It did feel like it was written by somebody who had those compulsions or had some sort of, you know, mental health issues and wanted to get it down. But it was written in a way that was not, empathic to that person.
No.
And like, and you
for
hate,
comedy.
Yeah. And the thing is like, you hate to say it, but I was like, at that time, I mean, clearly I Googled a few things, it made like $300 million. And it was like, it blows my mind that it was so successful then. But if it came out, I mean, that movie might be blacklisted. Like there's no way people would even let it go to theaters.
You have to do it differently.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, okay, you're right. I didn't buy into a lot of the stuff in there. But I really like the acting. Is that bad?
Yeah,
it was like, is that bad?
You're
like,
totally
it was
right.
Because even guy Greg Kinnear, which I was like,
awesome.
Even though he was crying in 99% of the scenes, it was just like, I was like, man, even I was like, I am okay with the acting in this, but I'm 100%. I didn't buy it. Oh my God. And maybe I'm just getting older in my ADD or ADHD, but it was like that whole, that big scene where they're sitting there, they finally go to dinner together. But him leaning up to that iconic line, I was just like,
"You make me want to be like, a better person."
And even after that, I was like, "How long are we gonna be here?" And I was just like, "I was like, come on, let's get this going." I was like, "We've got to wrap this up." And maybe that's just me getting older, and you know. But I was just like, "This is a long fucking scene," and I was, I'm trying to be the most politically correct I can be here. I liked the film. But there's no way it would like hold up today.
No
way.
Absolutely.
And I was like, and it sounds bad that it's saying that like I wasn't offended by the film, where I was like, oh, I'm gonna write a letter, you know? It's like I'm never gonna, you know, watch that film again. But it's like I'm on to that way. But I was just like, man, nowadays this would. There's no way it would even be made nowadays.
Yeah.
No way.
It feels different now.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
It does. But, man, there's something about that I'm just like, it doesn't have to. they're showing an example of a guy who you don't want to. I mean, no, like Michael Scott. Like I understand it's like those old episodes of The Office, and you're like, clearly this is not the way to act or the yeah, but it's something about that. And Greg Kinnear, yeah, he used to do what talk soup on what E, and just talk about other talk shows and other random reality bullshit that was happening. But he was in that. He was in Mystery Men. He was like their Superman.
Oh,
he was
my
in like,
okay, you know
so
what?
I'm trying to think.
We should do Mystery Men.
We got to watch that again. We got to watch that again.
Everything I've seen Greg Kinnear in ever, he's been great. He was in the remake of Sabrina.
He's with, awesome.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Just like, I was watching this and I was like, why has he not been in more shit? Like, he's done other.
Autofocus was really good.
I don't think I saw that.
But he's
been
Crane
in
story.
TV shows and stuff since. The last film I saw him in was called Flash of Genius, and I think it was 2013. And it was about the guy who invented the intermittent windshield wiper and then was screwed out of basically the patent. He was like, yeah, I came up with this idea. And every single car company was like,
all stole
sure you did. And then stole it. And he spent years in litigation trying to get it, lost his entire family and everything. He was like, no.
They killed his family?
They got divorced. He was, spoiler alert, he wins. But he spends years, he's like, no, this thing is right and it's true. And this is what I'm owed. And I want you to have to say it or whatever.
Yeah.
So he played, that was his last leading role I saw him in a film.
Yeah.
I miss Greg Kinnear.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he was phenomenal. And I thought and going back now, he might be the best performance in the movie. He was nominated for an Oscar. Yeah. It's like you could have easily given him an Oscar for that.
I don't know. I'd
have to go back and see.
I thought you would have known.
Yeah. No, let's check that
one, out. While you're looking, one of my favorite scenes, and this is going to sound bad, but it was like when he's in the hospital and he hasn't revealed anything yet, and Yeardley Smith is in there as assistant, but Cuba Gooding Jr. comes in. Asked him to remove half of his stuff, but even Cuba Gooding Jr.'s face, his reaction, he's like, and he just kind of like leans back, like bites his lip, and I was like, I lost it. I was like, that is so hilarious because he was like, damn it, I just lost like my boyfriend and my client. And he was just like, damn it, and I was like, that is so fucked up.
What happened to Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Cuba Gooding Jr. was awesome in this too.
He's Snow Dogs.
Oh yeah,
or
he's talking shit. He was like
Boat Trip.
He was like, you're watching this, dog. He was like, I want you to say, I almost want you to say no. I was like, please do it.
Yeah.
And it was, he's great in it.
Yeah. The acting was great. Yeah.
Yes. It really was.
So it was 97. So Tobey Maguire was 95. So this was, okay.
Robin Williams, Good Will Hunting won that.
Did you say Tobey Maguire?
For supporting actor.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah.
You say Tobey Maguire?
Jerry Maguire. Sorry.
Tobey Maguire was Spider-Man.
First movie I saw Cuba Gooding Jr. in was Jerry Maguire.
And he won for Cuba Gooding Jr. though, right? Huh? But he won.
Was he best supporting for Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
You mean Tobey Maguire?
Yeah, that was the year before. That was 1 year before this, 96.
Yeah.
All right, sweet.
I'm glad we were on the same page that we thought Travis just literally blurted out Tobey Maguire.
I watched that movie too.
Yeah.
That was a conundrum I write about in my review of, I don't know which direction to take with evaluating this.
Well, and sorry to interrupt, but it's like, and kind of going, I think what Travis is getting at, in this day and age, I feel like I can't say I liked this movie, because if I say I like this movie, then I'm going to get berated.
Yeah.
And it was like, you'd be like, you liked that movie? And it's like, look, I'm not saying that I agree with everything, but what I'm saying is the acting's really good. And look, and I'm not even saying I like the movie, but I was just like, I appreciate the movie, the storyline, but it was like,
it's a good word.
But it sucks if I said, oh, I like the way these actors acted. They'd be like, oh, you liked that? It's like,
appreciate the movie.
I liked it.
It's like,
they can dare leak my balls.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that it might be controversial in this day and age.
Yeah.
Yes. And so,
see above.
That was my fork in the road. For the time period it came out, mental health was not a thing in movies was taken seriously. The fact that they showed an OCD character like this at all was...
In a not very, I guess, not gratifying, but not in like a very...
Like you said, empathetic way.
Yeah, it was like you saw every aspect of being actually like OCD.
Yes.
Having a compulsion. Mm-hmm. And he was very compulsive.
Yes.
But you can be OCD and an asshole. Both things.
Yeah. Yes. True. I mean, yeah. He was both. Yeah. And he played both perfectly as an actor. The performance was tremendous. You fucking hated the character.
Yeah.
You can't be an asshole. I like that.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's true, though. It's just
both,
like.
Both things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
But also, you think about it, like, now it would be, and it has been for other movies in modern times, very controversial to have two gay characters played by non-gay actors. Back then, so it's like, it was a big deal to have, I mean, because I'm thinking back, Greg Kinnear's performance here, that's the first time I've seen a well-rounded, three-dimensional gay character in a movie that wasn't played for comic relief, wasn't played for cheap laughs, like in The Rock or something, where it's like, you know, the hairdresser or whatever. It's like it's just played for you to laugh at them.
Well, I also have a contention with that, is that your job is to be an actor, is to be something other than what you are.
Yeah.
And the fact, maybe this is a controversial opinion, but also, I don't care, dare leak my balls. Mm-hmm. You're an actor. You should be able to play. If you want to play an animated crab in a mermaid movie, you can do that.
Yeah.
If you want to play gay, if you want to play straight, it's a role that you are.
No. Why did playing? You're equating an animated crab.
I know, and I'm saying Jermaine Clement did that from his Flight of the Conchords in Moana, and he fucking killed that animated crab.
Jermaine can nail anything.
Yeah, and I was like, when you said that, I was like, are you talking about Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords? And I was like, he killed that fucking role.
If they're having a straight actor play a gay role in it, like as a comedic, you know, if they're making fun of being gay, that I understand. But a straight actor can play a gay role.
Wait, that you understand?
A gay role, a gay actor can play a straight role. Like it doesn't, I don't understand that. You're an actor, you're playing a role. Yeah, it's.
He did a great job. And again, it's to me, Greg Kinnear is the. And Helen Hunt too, but they are the human side of the story. Like you're looking at Melvin, Jack Nicholson's character, through their eyes. Like they are the empathy, the humanity that you see him through, because they are the most human people he interacts with.
They're the foils.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, and Greg Kinnear is like, he's the most he's the most grounded, likable person, even though he goes through horrible shit throughout the movie. But it's like, not only is he depicted in a three-dimensional way, but he is probably the most sympathetic character in the entire movie, and Greg Kinnear does a great job playing him. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like it's difficult to imagine any actor of any orientation doing a better job than he did playing that. It was such a great performance.
Yeah, but, he killed it.
Yeah. And so I didn't know whether it's like for what it did then, because that was groundbreaking to have that.
Yeah. Kind
of, now it's commonplace. You see that in Star Wars. You see it in Marvel. You see it, you know. Peacemaker, whatever, you see gay characters and it's no big thing. Back then it was a big thing. And so it's like, do you reward it for what it was then? Do you,
yeah, true.
Do you take off points for how cringy it is now? Or do you look at it simply as a flawed movie that tried to shoehorn Jack Nicholson in as a leading man in the last act where he didn't belong? I would have bought the fact at the end of it, maybe he doesn't necessarily have to go off in the sunset eating, you know, whatever rolls, warm rolls with Helen Hunt. Maybe he's just a little bit better person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to be all the way at the top of the ladder. Maybe he's just climbing up a couple of rungs in the decency.
But I still want those warm rolls.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should, honestly, we should all take up screaming at our waiters across the room.
He must tip really well.
Yeah.
He is super rich.
Yeah.
The maitre d' was the dude from Heavyweights.
No.
Yeah. What? He was one of the camp counselors in Heavyweights, the guy that wouldn't let him in.
The guy that owns the restaurant? That kicks him out?
The maitre d' guy.
First of all, also, that was a weird scene. So when he first raises the stink when she's gone and the owner comes over, why are there four cops? But he's sitting with those four cops. Mm-hmm. He's like, you better get out of here or it's going to get crazy.
The restaurant.
And then one of the cops stands up and I'm like, what is going on right now?
Yeah.
And I was just like, so there's this four cops and he's having lunch with them or breakfast. And then it was like, oh, these are my guys. You better get out of here. I was like, I don't know.
He's that's
weird.
Very dismissive of cops too. At one point, I think he calls them like fucking donut eaters or something.
What was that line? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, donut munchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was like early on in the movie.
Like early in the movie, yeah.
Donut eating mother.
Yeah. He's like, help, help.
Yeah. And then, yeah, he confronts Cuba Gooding Jr. All he can say is, and you're black.
Yeah.
That's like all he's got.
No, you got him.
So what were you talking about? So what do you mean?
No, at the end, when he and Helen Hunt are going out to eat, and the guy's like, hey, you need a Coke.
And Helen Hunt.
Yep, I know exactly. Like, yeah.
That's the dude from Heavyweights.
Yeah. Dang it, you're going to kill me. But yeah, okay. I was thinking like in the early restaurants.
Also, why haven't we done Heavyweights for this?
Because it's just a 5-star movie, man.
Yeah, yeah, like, we'll get there.
Five stars. Yeah. That's it. Watch it.
Do you guys have any parting thoughts?
Scale
of 1 to 10. What do you guys think? Scale of 1 to 10.
1 to 10.
Fuck. 5?
Five out of ten.
I would give it probably like a.
I'll go 7 out of 10.
I was gonna say a 6.5, or like that's just like where it was. Because it was like, I don't know. Again, regardless of anything politically correct, after watching it again, I was like, it was like, you know, the end, the whole. I was like, but I did just like the acting.
Yeah,
and I was like, and honestly, a little bias. I do love Jack Nicholson. Yeah.
I will give it an extra star. I'll make it a 6 out of 10 because of the scene where he has the sunglasses on his forehead.
Yes,
and he just fucking pops his eyebrows, pops him down. Tremendous.
Yeah,
that scene alone, that GIF has gotten me so much mileage in my like work conversations. Extra star for that. Six out of 10. I'll give it six out of 10.
I was going to say, yeah. I was like, 6.5. Like, I just love him. And there were a few scenes where, like, and again, one of my favorite movies in general is like The Departed. And I see a lot of, I was like watching it and I was like, am I watching The Departed? Because he kind of leans forward a little bit. And he's like, you make me want to be a better man. And I was like, is he looking for the rat? Like, this freaking rat. And I was like, I'm here for it. Yeah. I'm here for it.
So we've heard your Jack Nicholson. I think we've heard a little bit of yours. I want to hear Travis's.
Oh, that was going to be my other question.
Say you make me want to be a better man. Say it right now. Say it.
I'm dying here.
Not bad.
So
that's not bad.
Oh. That's not bad.
Well,
not bad.
That's so is that cringy to anybody else? When like Christopher Walken or Nicholson or somebody's in a film and the actor, like there's another actor who's like, hey man, I do a really good impression. Could we put it in the film? That's what it feels like to me when I hear it. Like I still kind of like it, but when I hear it, I'm just like, that dude was way excited about his impression.
He just wanted really to do wanted an impression.
It in yeah.
Yeah.
The film.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can do it, but it's like, you know, you want me, sweetheart? Here I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's like the Batman Returns where the guy does the Christopher Walken, the son, his chip or whatever, does like the, you know, dad, go save yourself. It's like he's doing a Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken. It's pretty amazing.
Is it weird to anybody else, or does it take you out of the film for a second?
Yes. Because he is such an iconic person that, you know, everyone has sort of attempted it. Because
Greg Kinnear did it twice in here. He did the I'm dying here in line, and he did another one, too.
Yeah, he did it whenever the dog is running.
Oh, when he's talking to the dog.
Yeah. Like,
you want me, sweetheart? Here I am. Yeah,
okay, that's right.
Yeah.
So it does the eyebrows and everything. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cute.
Where do you rank this? What do you got?
I would say 6.5. I really sat at the computer for a while and thought about it, and it was like, like you say, I really like the performances. I think that they respond to the material really well. Helen Hunt.
Put yourself in 1997. Where do you rank it?
Maybe a star higher, maybe like a, you know,
like seven, a 7.5,
yeah,
8.
Yeah, I'd say 7.5 is about where I would. It's tough to watch a movie about a protagonist this unpleasant for that long, for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
I was shocked it was that long.
Yeah.
It's like when I pulled it up, I was like, good gravy.
It's kind of exhausting.
Good gravy. Yeah.
But I still would say probably 7.5. I thought that it was great for what it was. And for that time period, you know, it did a lot. So yeah. I enjoyed it for that reason. So I would say I liked it. Full knowledge it wouldn't play anywhere near as well now.
Yeah.
No.
But a lot of movies from that time period wouldn't. You know, it's kind of, in a way, heartening. Because sometimes you look at the way things are and you think we haven't really come that far. But now it's like you look at a movie like that, it's like we've traveled further than I thought.
Well, and specifically, they played in two subject matters that we've come a far, far way in since that time.
Yeah.
So I think they picked two subjects that really have aged poorly since 1997 in both mental health and I mean, gay rights.
Yeah.
Just the general perception.
Homophobia. Yeah.
So racism, homophobia, you know, mental health. We've come so far since 1997, and they just sort of slopped around in both.
It's a time capshole. It's a shot of 1997.
The only thing they can do now, because it is 2022 now, is to reboot this film called As Good As It's Gonna Get. And so eventually they have a kid, and now this kid, I'm assuming Helen Hunt and Janice have passed away, but this kid has been raised in an orphanage, probably by...
No, it would have been raised by their stepson, yeah. Spence.
That's right.
Which would have been the older brother. It would have also been called As Good As It Got.
As Good As It Got. Yeah. That's true. And then so it's just going to be this kid, and now he's going to have to go through the whole world, learn everything that's new nowadays, but he still has a little bit of his dad's OCD in there.
Yeah.
He probably also has violent asthma, just like you know. Yeah. And so
Helen Hunt isn't going to be in this one?
R.I.P.
They're not going to come back.
All right.
They're not coming back.
Give like an homage to her, like who's gonna be
her nipples? Her nipples will be in there.
That was
for
a weird scene.
Yeah, that was very strange.
Yeah,
I liked it as a freshman in high school.
Well, yeah, I was rocking the bone. I liked it as a
31-year-old.
Yeah.
So
fair.
Can we just talk about the namesake of the movie? I honestly don't understand what they were going for. When he walks out of his therapist's office into a lobby of other people and he says, what if this is it? What if this is As Good As It Gets?
Oh, we got a title drop.
Yeah. We got a title drop. But like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's like, I felt like
that was supposed to be deeper than it was. And I feel like it just fell flat. But maybe it's just...
I mean, I read that as him shitting all over the people that are trying to like be in better health or what. It's like... To me, it's the Frank Sinatra quote of like, you know, how he always said he felt sorry for people who didn't drink because they would wake up in the morning. That's the best you'll feel all day.
Oh, yeah.
It's like if you're in there and you're suffering from whatever blah, blah, blah ailments, it's like, what if this is as good as you're ever going to feel? Mm. You know, it's like it's him being a wet blanket all over people that are in there.
Yeah. After not
trying to get better.
Exactly. After not getting his way to get in there. So, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. It's like saying to somebody that has their leg in a cast or whatever. It's like, what if this is the best you ever are right here?
Yeah.
You know, it's like him just being an asshole.
Well, he is an asshole.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But anyway, that's our date movie. and it would be interesting to watch, especially now.
Snuggle up with your boo and...
Actually, man.
Watch some aged mental health.
Put some bacon in your pocket, see if she can find it.
Yeah, this has never been more appropriate than our sign off. This movie, not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Yeah. Exactly. Next, we're going to look at the movie Long Shot, Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron.
Guys, I'm going to have to dip because I have to go do nerdy stuff, but I enjoyed that film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he dips, we dip, and you dip as well.
Please. I dip, we dip, you dip.
Yeah. And so we will see you guys shortly.
Later. Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.
Much like Charlize Theron, I also like my ass slapped a little bit. Mic joking. Yeah.